We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Thank you. Will you stand with me as we commit the preaching of God's word to the Lord? Let's just come before the Lord and acknowledge him, the one we're praying to, the one we're asking for help. God of creation, God of love, God of power, and God of compassion, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We ask now that you'll prepare our hearts to receive it, Lord. Let it land on fertile soil. Bless Jeff as he comes to bring us your word. Speak through him, Lord, and minister to us through your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, now and calm our hearts, prepare our hearts, that we may take hold of this gospel truth and bring others to know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Becky. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. It's really a privilege for me to stand up here and share with you some thoughts that God has given me on this particular passage. As Dan said, it's very much one of the very earliest of the Christian creeds, been there from the very beginning. It's the most, if you like, important of the creeds, perhaps even the most important passage in the whole of Scripture, actually, although there are so many you could pick out, of course there are. But this is really important, yet we don't really understand it all that much. We don't read it very often, I don't suppose. So hopefully God has given me enough sense this morning to share some of the message from this passage. We live in a dark world. I was thinking about the runners this morning. There'd be lots of joy out there on the road today, lots of fun, lots of exertion, and most of them, or perhaps all of them, are running for some kind of charity, some kind of need, some kind of way in which they can help in some way a situation which is dire, perhaps. A dark world we live in. As I'm sure you would agree, we live in a dark world. It was into such a darkness that I stepped about 7 weeks ago. From the darkness of my bedroom to the darkness of my landing, I was on a journey that I make every night to the bathroom. And I stepped into the darkness. Didn't want to put the lights on in case I woke my wife, as usual. So I stepped out and stepped into this darkness. And I fell. Crashed down the stairs. I should have turned to the right into the bathroom. I turned to the left and tumbled down the whole length of our staircase. 19 steps. Bang, 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 bang. Crash. Crumbled in a heap of despair at the bottom, crying out for the angels to help me, and my wife appeared. I had to get that bit in. Not daft. But she was like that angel I needed at that moment. It was a horrible experience. It was terrible. I should have turned in one direction and I turned in another. We live in a dangerous world. And why am I telling you this? Well, because I just want to encourage you to be careful. Especially as you're getting older. Watch where you're going. But we all make mistakes. We all fail, we all turn in wrong directions. There's all sorts of ways in which you can use this analogy. But the one reason I'm telling you is this. I wanted to say this. Don't step into the darkness without a light. Don't step into the darkness without a light. It's very dangerous. We're blind. We make mistakes. We turn in the wrong directions. The moral of the story, if you like, make sure you have a light on when you're walking in to the darkness of this world. So what is this light that we so often speak about? That step into the darkness that needs a light, that we claim to be a safeguard for us on our journey of life. What is this light of life that God gives us to journey with? Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the good news that God died to save us from our sins and was buried, yet he rose again to new life. Let's see what Paul says here in the first part of this passage, 1-3. Now, brothers and sisters, he says, let me remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. Let me remind you, he says. And Christine and I were having a bit of a conversation about this, how we need reminding quite often about things. We hear it so often, and no doubt you've heard this message. There's nothing particularly new here. In fact, I don't know if we as preachers can ever preach anything brand new. Sometimes, hopefully, something different that you might not have thought of before, but it's been preached so long. Paul says, let me remind you. He's obviously preached it before. He told them about this before. I'm glad to hear that. He's preached this sermon perhaps many times before, but he says, let me remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. Now, if you're a Christian, you've received this gospel. It's not good enough just to hear it. We don't just hear it. We shouldn't just hear it. Many people hear it. Many people have heard it. But as Christians, we have received it. Like Amazon coming to the door with a parcel and you receive it. You don't own it until you get it into your hands. It's yours. Have you received the gospel or have you just heard it over the years? Many times that it's become a little mundane, perhaps. God, can you believe that? Surely not. We need to receive it. And then we need to stand on it. Do you see that? Which you have received, on which you have taken a stand. You've taken your stand on this, he's telling them. And we as Christians need to take a stand on this gospel. We need to take a stand on this light that we believe in and share it. It's solid ground we stand on. It's not sinking sand. It's not a pebble beach. It's solid rock on which we stand. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We live in a dark world and we need to know that we stand secure. And then the next part, verses 4-9. For what I received, I pass on to you as a first importance, as first importance. That Christ died for your sins. Not didn't just die. He died for your sins. He died for you. He died for me. That Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. It's all there in the Old Testament. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Of first importance. This is very important. This early creed of the Christian church. There's no mention here of his moral teachings. There's no mention here about what we should do or how we should be or about kindness or goodness. There's nothing here about that. This is all about Christ. This is all about what Christ has done, not about what we do. Of course, Paul preaches about goodness. He's given us 1 Corinthians 13, if we look back a chapter or two. 1 Corinthians 13, love is all you need. Patient, kind, goodness. He spoke about this many times, but now he says to us, but of first importance is that Christ died for us. Christ died for us and for our sins, according to the scriptures. Well, every morning I awake and I say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. It's a wonderful thing to know. You know, I sometimes say that prayer, Lord, I've done nothing wrong today. I've made no mistakes. I've not hurt a soul. But in a minute, I've got to get out of bed. You've heard it before, I'm sure. Let me remind you. There's nothing within us that saves us. Nothing inside us, nothing beside us other than Christ that saves us. We can't do anything for ourselves. Christ does it all. No mention here of his moral teachings, how we should live or what we should do. What's of first importance is that Christ died for our sins. And the doctrine of Christ's death and Christ's resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. That's it. That's all we have, the gospel. Remove it, and all hope of eternity sinks like a stone into the abyss of darkness. And it's holding on to this truth, this gospel truth, firm, that Christians stand strong in times of trial. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's not easy. We've had some heartaches here in the church over the last few months. We've had some heartaches in our lives, I'm sure. I came to be a Christian through the death of my first wife many years ago now. Lots of water under the bridge since then, but I still remember the pain and the suffering of those times. But I became a Christian through her death. What? How can that be? How can that happen? How can such a darkness produce such a light? How can I become a believer? Why aren't I against God for that to happen? Why did he let that happen? Well, I have a lot of questions for him when I get there. Excuse me, Lord, can I have a word about this? Absolutely. But there was no denying the fact that I became a born again, if you like, Christian. It lifted me. It didn't make me happy. It helped me cope more than I could ever have helped myself cope. It lifted me. It shone a light into my darkness and said, walk with me. And I walked with them. What a glorious day. Although not at all when you really think about what happened. I became a Christian. I couldn't not become one. I could not deny it. It's holding on to this truth that's outside of ourselves. It's not something we have to work towards. It's not something we develop inside us and understand. It's not even really a theology. It's a belief. Believe in me, said the Lord. That's all you need to do. Trust in me. Walk with me. It's holding on to this truth that Christians stand strong in times of trouble. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we get this. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You can do anything to them, and they'll still believe. You can take anything from them, and they will still believe. Because it's not about us, it's about him. He is risen. He is alive. He is real in our world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's the shadow of death, it's not death itself. We all walk through the shadow. Every day we're walking through the shadow of death. I'm going to cheer you up a bit today, but it's the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. No, I won't. Your rod and your staff, those strong things of faith, are with me. They comfort me. The gospel's translated good news. Do you know this good news? Do you have this good news in this darkened world, in this troubling place that we live in? Do you have the good news? It's almost as if good news is an understatement. I would have thought it was the understatement of the decades. Surely it's more than good news. Well, absolutely it is. It's the word that was translated out of the Greek, gospel. But of course, it's eternal life. That's good news, but it's eternal life. It's bigger than good news. It's that peace that passeth understanding when you're in a bad place and you still feel at peace about things. You're going to be able to cope. Everything's going to be all right in the end. It's that hope that doesn't disappoint. I don't know much about any of you, really, but I do know this. We've all had hopes that have been disappointed. Disappointments in life, things that haven't happened the way we'd want them to. It's that hope that does not disappoint. That truth that there is nothing God cannot do. Do you know that truth? Do you believe in that truth? You've heard it, but have you received it? Are you standing on it? This doesn't mean that once you're a Christian, all heartaches and misfortunes never touch us. Of course not. We know far too much to know that that isn't true at all. But when it does touch us, we are not alone. The one who has conquered death is with us. It's wonderful to be a Christian in such a world as this. Don't step into the darkness without a light. We got lights on our landing now. I tell you, it's like the Blackpool illuminations up there. Come on when you step in front of them. We got a child gate, an adult gate across the top. I tell you, it's the whole street knows when I'm on a journey to the loo in the middle of the night. Don't step into the darkness without a light. Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light. I am the light. That's now. I am. Not I will be. although indeed he will be. Not that I was, although indeed he was. But I am with you now. It's not something we've had or we've wait for. It's something we can own right now, this very day. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, says the Lord. Never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you know this? Do you know him? Do you hold his hand as he holds your heart? As the truth of this come from the head down to the heart, as Dan said earlier, has it made that journey? Is it still being analysed in your head, working things out? Are you still wanting to know before you make a decision? Or have you allowed it to sink down into your heart and take your heart? Do you stand on this gospel? I am the light of the world. No one follows me. No one will walk in darkness, rather, but have the light of life. This passage seems to be all about Jesus' resurrection, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you, after all these words I've used, it's not about his resurrection, it's about our resurrection, this passage. Paul is talking to the Christians in Corinth about their resurrection, how they've been saved. But you are saved, he says. By this gospel, you are saved. It's about us. It's about our resurrection. Paul says this, verse 10. By grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh God, thank you, Paul. Thank you for telling me that you are what you are, because all I am is what I am. I am what I am. We are what we are. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me, not without effect. It was his grace that enabled me to see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Like me. Why would he bother with such a wretch as me? We are all sinners. We need saving. Yes, we do. We need saving. We all make mistakes. We all do wrong things. Sometimes deliberately. Sometimes without really knowing what we've done. We're sinners. We're sinners. But we're saved by grace. If we weren't, we wouldn't get there. We would not have eternal life. No matter how good we were. No matter how long we've been working in the church. No matter how well my voice sounds when I sing, Katie. Or when I play the guitar, how good I am at these things. It's wonderful, of course. But none of it makes any difference. I'm saved by grace. I am what I am, says Paul. Nicky Gumbel in the Alpha talk. Well, you've heard this before, I'm sorry, but there we are. I'm just reminding you. Are you a Christian? He says. And someone said to him, well, I try to be. What? You try to be? What does that mean? That means you think you've got to be something. You've got to be good. You've got to be something. Are you a Christian? Well, ish. Now, imagine if I was asked the question, are you married? Well, I try to be. Are you married? Ish. It's a clever analogy that he makes on the Alpha course. Do the Alpha course if you... We're Christians. Not by our own merit, but by his saving grace and love for us. Do you know this? Do you know this truth? It's of first importance. First importance. Everything else comes after that, of course. Of course we're meant to be good people. Of course we're meant to be helpful people. That comes with knowing that God is love and has loved us even though we were sinners. Our eternal salvation is secure because I live, Jesus said, you will also live. Because I live, you will also live. No condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just look at the list of people whom Jesus chose to visit after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 to 11, we find that. He came to Cephas, that's Peter. Remember what Peter was like, he completely denied him. And then to the 12 who all ran away from him. After that, he appeared to more than 500. Well, we don't know who they were, but 500 people all at one time saw him, a big rally of some kind. That's amazing. Some have fallen asleep, but some are still awake. Then he appeared to James. This is his brother, who didn't want to know him in his life, really, didn't believe in him, found it really difficult to have a brother like Jesus, who was doing all those wrong things, as he put it. He appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me as one abominably born, abnormally born. For I was the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, he says. Just look at the people that Jesus chose to visit after his resurrection. Not perfect people, far from it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the most important event in the history of the world. Of all the victories won on the battlefields of history, there has never been a victory like the victory we worship and celebrate, if you like, every Sunday morning when we come to church, especially last Sunday on Easter Sunday. All the victories won on the battlefields of history, there's never been a victory like the one victory that Jesus, victory of light over darkness, love over hate, life over death. What a victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Don't step into the darkness without a light. Don't trust in your own ability. We are frail creatures. We make mistakes. We take wrong turns. Don't I know it? It was a horrible experience. In the end, I only fractured my hand quite badly. Dislocated my finger. Lost for now my wedding ring, which hurts me more than anything. Had to cut it off. But I was lucky. Can I say that? We don't believe in luck, but I was lucky. I could have died. I don't get too dramatic about this, but I could have died that night on the stairs. I could have broke my neck. I could have injured myself much more than I did. I'm grateful for that, of course, but it was a horrible experience. I shall never step into the darkness without those lights being there. I've learnt my lesson. How about you? How about us? How are you doing? Have you heard it? Have you received it? Are you standing on it? Do you believe it? How can we cultivate a faith that endures through every heartache and pain? Believe. That's how we cultivate a faith that can stand the terrors of time. Believe. Believe. Just believe. And take a step of faith in that belief and find your light shining in your darkness. This is for you. This is for me. This is for all who will believe that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again. Yes, he did. He didn't die again. He rose again and is alive today through the power of his Holy Spirit. Will come back one day and meet us in the air. This is for you and me. Don't step into the darkness. Please learn the lesson that I learned. It's a dangerous world, as well you know. Believe in God. Have hope. Let's pray. But Father, bless us, please, I pray. Shine your light upon our darkness and give us your peace. Just as the band is coming up, I just wonder if we might just be quiet a moment. Reflect on what I've tried to say this morning. For yourself personally. Have you received this? Do you stand on it? Do you believe? Do you need to step into his light? Just a moment of quiet. And as we come to communion, I would encourage you all to step into that story of Christ's death and resurrection. Become part of it. Receive the body broken and the blood shed that you might live. We thank you, Lord, and we ask your blessing upon us, Father God. In all that we are and all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.